take your Bibles, go if you would over to 1 Samuel. We're going to go to a few places. I told my wife, and when you go somewhere, you're thinking, now, you know, what might I preach? But on the same account, when you're sitting in, and you're sitting in the meeting, and I don't know if the rest of you guys like this, but when a service goes a certain way and a meeting goes a certain way, the Lord kind of lays other things on your hearts and take you different places. You're not sure where you're going to end up, honestly. And so this morning, I kind of feel like, have you ever gone to the refrigerator and, you know, it's Sunday afternoon and you start pulling out the leftover meatloaf and some chicken and some mashed potatoes and then you pull out the leftover corn, which never looks good. Leftover corn looks terrible, does it not? Yes. And then you pull out the macaroni and cheese. You're thinking, I can't have both of them because two yellows on the table just wouldn't work, you know. And then when you sit down for that kind of a smorgasbord, and you're sitting there thinking, wow, I never would have thought that I would have tasted that with that. And that's kind of what I feel like, because we're going to kind of be over the map this morning. I want you to look at something that I actually recently preached to our church. I joke about Brother Smith and Harmony, but I will tell you this, it's no surprise, and I'll say this as kind of an intro, it's no surprise to you, certainly, that churches oft times are not nearly in the harmony that the Lord Jesus Christ would want us to be in. It wouldn't be a surprise to you that many homes aren't in the harmony that the Lord Jesus Christ intended. Many times that marriages aren't what they ought to be. And with that vein, recently with our church, I preached what I'm going to preach to you this morning, hoping to be a blessing. If I didn't tell you where, 1 Samuel chapter 22, and we'll take a jump from there in chapter 22, verse 1. The Bible says, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. Let's pray. Father, I ask you for the next few minutes that you would bring not only to my mind, but Lord, to my heart, the things that, Lord, have been on my heart. And I pray, Father, that you would speak to men, women, husbands, wives, and fathers, and children, and church members, and maybe even pastors. Because, Lord, there hath no temptation taken us, but such is common. And so, Lord, if we struggle with it, others struggle with it. And this is a state of an individual, of a Christian. And I pray, Father, you'd help me to be a help today, I pray. And I'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. David is fleeing from Saul. He is, Saul has proven himself that he's not going to change. As long as David is alive, he's going to be David is alive, Saul's going to be seeking for him. It was in chapter 20 where Jonathan and David had this kind of a plan set up, and David was going into the field, and Jonathan was, if you were, going to kind of test his dad out to find out if his dad really had aught in his heart toward David. No question about it. You know the story that they go out there and Jonathan shoots the arrow. He sends the boy out after the arrow, and as a sign to David, he says, "Is not the arrow beyond thee?" It had nothing to do with the arrow. What he was saying is that you can't fix this. This is beyond you. And this mad king was after David. And so upon that, David fled. In chapter 22, we find that he goes to the cave Adullam. And in verse 2, it says, "And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him," unto David. Does it not seem odd to you that they're leaving a king? The king has everything. He has the kingdom, he has the power, he has the riches. He rules everything, and yet he had nothing for those that were distressed. He had nothing for those that were in debt. He offered no comfort to those that were in distress, no hope for those that were in debt, no satisfaction for those that were discontent. And yet out in the cave, there's this young man that has nothing. This young man who's a refugee. He's running away from this mad king, and yet he attracted them. There was something in this young man that someone who was in distress said, I think he could help me. There was someone in this young man that was in debt. I think he might have some answers for me. This cave dweller. The king had no walk. He had everything else, but he had no message from God. My goodness, he didn't even consult the Lord. And this young man over in the cave, he had nothing, but he had a walk. And thus he had answers. And thus he was attractive to those in need. Can I tell you something? That's what I want to be. When someone's distressed, I want them to look and say, you know, I think he might be able to help me. When someone is low and in debt and it seems like it's piled over their head, I want them to look at our church and say, you know what, I think the people there might be able to be a help to me. And so often that's not the case. Can I say this? When my wife is low, I want her to look and say, you know what, I think my husband might be able to help me. Can I say this morning? If you're here and you're saved, can I please tell you that on this side we have Saul, and on this side we have the cave dweller David, and I want you to know that you're somewhere in between those two. You are either a Saul Christian or you're a David Christian. You are either someone that says, I think that he can help me, I think she can help me, or you're someone that says, you don't even think it, you just don't go that way. Why? Because something inside has said, there's no help there. I'd ask you to take your Bibles now, if you would. That's just kind of a jumping board. Maybe we'll have three or four of them, I don't know. But go over, if you would, to the book of Colossians now. I really have one word that I would like to spend a little bit of time on this morning. Colossians chapter 3. We'll also look in Ephesians for a couple of minutes. And in Colossians 3, the Bible says in verse 12, put on therefore, back up if you would to verse 9. Back up if you would to verse 7. It's all good. We need to back up, all right? Go to verse 8. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man and his deeds. Those two verses do not sound like David. They sound like Saul. And to the child of God, Paul says, put those off. But in verse 10 he says, and be renewed, and that you put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after him, image of him that created him, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Look what it says in verse 12. Put on therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. I wonder if we'd find that in the kingdom or we'd find that in the cave. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Listen to this. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If a man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I could go on. You know the chapter. But as I read this and as I looked at this, I thought, boy, there is a distinction here. One seems to be very much Saul and the other seems to be the cave dweller. One, I wouldn't go towards, and I wouldn't go towards anger, and I wouldn't go towards malice, and I wouldn't go toward filthy communication. I wouldn't think there'd be any help for me there. And yet how often has that crept into our lives? How often is that our makeup and our nature? I remember talking to actually a friend of mine several years ago. We were talking about the ministry, and I said this. I said, I just want to be kind. The response surprised me because it was almost a roll of the eyes, like, how silly that you want to be kind. And I thought, it's a fruit of the Spirit. How can we not desire to be kind? Because people that are distressed look for kindness. People that are in debt, they look for those that have understanding and those that are forbearing. And he says, put this off and put this on. But in verse 12, and he says, or verse 10, it says this. And have put on the new man, which is, say the word, renewed. Go over, if you would, to Ephesians. We'll get to the text. No, we're not there yet. We'll get to the text. Go to Ephesians 4. And you know the verse 22 that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be, say the word. Then he goes on and says, put away lying, verse 25. Be angry and sin not, verse 26. Give no don't give place to the devil, verse 27. Don't steal. He goes on in verse 31, very much about last night. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Did you all notice that? Look what it says in verse 29. It says, what's the first word? Say it. What's verse 28? What's the first word? Yeah. Verse 26, be angry and sin not, let. You know, we look what he's saying. He said, I want you to be this. I want you to be the, if you would, for this morning. I want you to be the cave dweller. I want you to be the one that attracts those that are distressed and attracts those that are in debt. Listen, I think today many churches don't attract people that are in debt because they have more of a seeming judgmental attitude than they do an attitude of, we can help you. I'd like to be a blessing to you. I think those people can. I think that I can find I don't want to just say accepting spirit, but someone that wants to help me. Someone that wants to be a blessing. You can't read the Gospels without seeing that Jesus Christ attracted people. They came to Him. And yet in both of these passages, I see this word, renew. Renew. You say, oh, we know what renew is. Well, listen carefully just for a second. Can I say this? If you're saved, it was never better. If you'd allow me just this liberty, it was never better. It was never sweeter. It was never cleaner than the day. Do you remember the day you got saved? The day you come to Jesus Christ, the day that you realize He paid for all your sins, the day that you trusted Him as your Savior, the day you stood up after calling upon Him, and there was a joy where there was no joy, there's peace where there's no peace, there's happiness where there's no happiness. I remember I told the story of our church. First individual after I came to the church that got saved was a young lady. She had been dating this man, this young man in the church. And I preached that day on the Great Tribulation period. I preached that day on the Great Tribulation. And she's coming forward in the invitation. And I had been there, I forget how long, but it was long enough to where when someone came, I went, oh, you ever do that? Wow, someone's coming. Wow. And so I stepped down, and she came down. I said, you know, I'm thinking, okay, I've not done, what do I do? What are you coming for? And she said, I got to get saved, you know. And I said, well, come on. And we knelt down over here, and of course, now I've got to go through. I said, now, the Bible says, we're all sinners. I know I'm a sinner, you know. And at some point, you ever done that? I mean, she just heard the gospel. The Spirit of God's already dealt with her heart. But I'm going to back up and go through the whole trail again. And it's like the Spirit of God says, stupid. And by the way, if you ever hear the Spirit of God say stupid, He's trying to get to me. Yeah. Amen. So He said, stupid. She's ready. Just lead her. I said, and I told her, I said, you need to call on the Lord. You just need to ask Him to save you. The Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just ask Him. Believe He died for. I do. Well, then call on Him. And then she did something I cannot believe she did. She began to immediately pray and would not wait for me to lead her. That is like an uncalled for. Not only that, but she did it silently. I couldn't even track if she was doing it right. Ah, but when she stood up, and the mascara is no longer here, but it's here, and she's got a big smile on her face, and she hugs me, and she hugs him, and she's happy. You know what that is? That's that new creature. Do you remember? But with every one of us, after we got saved, something happened. It was called life. Very much to what Brother Bard spoke about this morning. You know what God does? God says, you're saved now, but I want to use you, and you've got a whole lot of stuff on your table that I need to start getting off so I can use you. The Apostle Paul said like this, I've suffered the loss of all things. And so he begins to take it off the table because he's trying to set a table in the wilderness. But it wasn't the table you and I set. It's his table. And one day he clears that table off. And some people, because they practice what was just preached to us, God begins to set the table. And he says, and they say the table looks so much better than what I did, Lord, thank you. But there are a number of Christians, and all they do is they look at an empty table and remember what they no longer have. All they see is the empty table. See, life happened and all they see is what was taken away. What didn't happen, what did happen that shouldn't have happened. That's what they see. And bitterness begins to creep in. And malice and evil speaking creeps into marriages, creeps into homes, creeps into churches. As it creeps in and we begin to develop that spirit, we become more of that Saul. And those that are distressed need someone to go to. And those that are in debt need someone to go to. And those that are discontent need to point to someone that will satisfy them. But they never think about going there. Why? Because they see no satisfaction in us. They see no joy in us because we become Saul. Folks, look up here. Part of you and I are Saul. You make up Saul. Saul's in this thing. He's always desiring to raise up. And so Paul says this. He says, be renewed. Why? Because you need to let some things go when you can't let some things go until you let me renew you. In other words, remember how joyful it was? Can I bring that back up and put that back down? And we understand that. We understand the Bible's part of that. The Bible says, my mind is to be renewed daily. We get that. But I want to show you something I saw about that renewal thing, and I won't be long. Take your Bibles now, and this is where we're going to be. Go to 1 Samuel, and this time go to chapter 11, please. Here's my question. Ma'am, in your marriage, are you a Saul or are you a David? Are you that put off things, or are you that put on thing? Sir, are you a Saul, or are you a David? Because there are people that are distressed. Hey, even in churches, there's people that become Sauls, and they live their life as Sauls, and never become a David again. Oh, the David is there. The David's wanting to come out. The David's wanting to be put on. But there is no renewal. This is something I found out. You know, you've heard enough of what I always talk about. Read the Bible. Read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible. The Bible is what does the work in our life. And I've come to find out, though, that a lot of people read the Bible and it doesn't seem to have an effect. Has anybody noticed that? There are people that read their Bible, they're diligent to read their Bible, but it doesn't seem to make a David out of them. I don't know why. It doesn't make them kind. It doesn't make them that person that would be, if you would, a magnet to someone who is in distress. In the time that I've pastored, my wife and I, we've had several through the years. Obviously, if you've pastored, you've had two. It's always nice when you watch someone. And they're in need and they've got problems in their life, their home's a mess, whatever it is. And they see something in you that attracts them and they want to talk to you. They want to spend time with you. And very much what we heard, it is not you. We know it's Jesus Christ. But could I say this? It's because the David came out. And I just believe there's homes where David needs to come out. And I believe there's churches where David needs to come out. And I believe there's pastors where David needs to come out. And it'll only happen when we start renewing. Well, preacher, I read my Bible. I want to show you another element of renewal. In 1 Samuel in chapter 11, the Bible says this in verse 12. And then the people said unto Samuel, who is he that said, shall Saul reign over us? Bring the men that we may put them to death. And Saul said, there shall not a man be put to death this day, for today the Lord hath wrought salvation in Israel. Then Samuel or then said Samuel to the people, come and let us go to Gilgal and, say it, renew the kingdom there. And all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord Gilgal. That's a neat story. Hopefully you know the story, but what the story was about is Saul in chapter 10, he is anointed king. And although the men that said, who is this man going to save us? Chapter 10, verse 27, when he's anointed, there's some in verse 26 that God touches their heart and they begin to follow him. And then verse 27, there's some that kind of, you can see the eyes rolling as they say, can this man save us? And so there's division on the day of the coronation. Some, they don't think Saul's fit to reign. And although I wouldn't give them credit, you could kind of understand it. Remember when they went to look for him to anoint him king and he was hiding? Now, how would you like that? I mean, you're looking for a guy to lead you in and out of battle and you find the guy you're going to pick and he's hiding. That's not a good first impression, right? And so they looked and said, can this man save us? And there's division in the kingdom. There's divisions in home. There's divisions in churches. There's divisions that go on. There's that development of that two-side. Once again, we see the Saul and the David. But then happens chapter 11 happens. In chapter 11, Nahash the Ammonite realizes that this kingdom that was 12 nomadic tribes, if you would, or somewhat, now they're united. They have a king. Now they're a force to be reckoned with. And so Nahash decides to go up to Jabesh-Gilead. And what he wants to do is he wants to put a mark on Saul's reign. So he goes up to battle against it. The men of Jabesh-Gilead say, what do you want so we don't have to fight? At that time, if someone didn't want to fight, they'd ask for some kind of conditions to pay them off, give them something. And Nahash asked for something very odd. He said, okay, fine. I want all the right eyes of the men of Jabesh-Gilead. You say, why? Because it wasn't a matter that he wanted anything. He wanted to mar Saul's new reign. You know the story. They went and sent a message to Saul. And Saul goes and rallies the troops. He makes his way down to Jabesh-Gilead. And there's a great victory that takes place. At that point, all of those that were for Saul looked at those and said, where are those guys that said, can Saul reign over us? Let's kill them. Once again, you have that division going on. Now stay with me, because what I'm talking about is there's people here and you're more Saul than you are David. You say, how do I know, preacher? How do I know if I'm more Saul or David? If you're David, you automatically attract those that are distressed. When's the last time anybody came up to you and said, you know, can I talk to you? I don't believe that should be the pastor's job. I believe that would be a Christian's job. I believe saints ought to be someone that someone's in distress, ought to want to go to them and say, hey, can you help me? I think you can help me. But it's not going to happen as long as we remain souls, as long as we have that bitterness, as long as that attitude remains, we can put a smile on our face and we can look good, but really, we're Saul. And it's revealed. It shows up. You can't hide it. And so here we have a kingdom with that stuff going on. And when Samuel heard them say, where are they at? Let's kill them. And then he heard Saul say, no one's going to die today. God's wrought a great victory. It says in verse 14, then said Samuel to the people, come and let's go up to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. I want to give you just a couple of thoughts this morning. Number one, the rift required a renewal. The rift required. There was a problem in the kingdom. I'll guarantee there are circumstances and situations even in this room today, and it requires a renewal. You're not going to get there because you're going to just kind of bow your head and say, okay, I'm going to do better, I'm going to do better. Anybody ever do that? Ever hear a message, for instance, last night on love? Anybody say, I'm going to love more, and you went out planning to love? Brother, nobody. Nobody. No, I didn't see one hand come up. No one did that. I'm going to go out and I'm going to love. And so you go out with an expressed intent to be more loving. But she said something that you didn't think she was going to say when you said you were going to love more. Have you ever had your feet knocked out from underneath you with your intent? Amen? You say, why? Because it's not a matter of you. You can't be it. You can't do it. It's a matter of Him renewing me and Him bringing the David up, and I am what I'm not. I show what I'm not. And when they see that, that's when those that are in distress say, I think you can help me. Every child of God in this room ought to desire to be David. Every wife in this room ought to desire to be David. Every husband in this room ought to desire to be David. Every parent in this room ought to desire to be David. Every church member in this room ought to desire to be David. But you'll never be David unless you're renewed. The rift required a renewal. This wasn't going to be a simple, I'm sorry. It wasn't just a statement. It wasn't just a misstep. This was a deeply seated attitude. And you see, that's what happens. The deeply seated attitudes get in us. It's not just a matter of saying, I'll do better, because it's attitude. It's held in attitude. It's not action. The action is just the result of the attitude. So we try to suppress the action. And very much like what Brother Logan said last night, we cut off the action, but the attitude still lays down there. And God says, you've got to be renewed. The renewal was necessary because of the rift. It says these are sons of Belial back up in chapter 1 of 1 Samuel. Look what it says in verse 27. But the children of Belial said, how shall this man save us? Now, I don't know. I don't know that they were actually bowing down to idols, these particular men. Maybe they were, but I tend to look at it and think it was just an attitude that goes with that. I don't know if you're familiar with the story, but remember when David went and he chased the Amalekites because they had razed Ziklag? There were men that were tired, and he left them there with the stuff, and he went to fight the battle. The battle was victorious. On the way back, the Bible says this. It says, men of Belial said, they're not going to share in the spoils. It's an attitude. Where are they at? Can this man save us? Oh, God forgive any church member that has ever looked and said, yeah, some pastor he's going to be. Men of Belial. The reason it requires a renewal, because it's not just an action thing, it's an attitude thing. And that attitude runs deep. These Israelites at some point had opened themselves up, or at least given occasion to satanic forces and Christian, please make no mistake. When you begin to allow the seeds of bitterness and malice to lie within you, you make way, you make room for Satan, I'll guarantee, even in this room. Listen, here's what the Lord said. He said, Peter, Satan hath desire to have you that he might... Okay, let's try that again. The word is sift. Satan hath desire to have you that he might... They tell me that years ago, that sifting, they would take the flour and they'd go through it because they had something called weevils. I didn't come from that day, but there were bugs. They got out of it, and I'm sure everybody ate the biscuits. We're glad that they did it. The idea is, when you sift this stuff, the flour goes through, and what is left is not what's wanted in the mix. And let me tell you something. Satan, all Christian, make no mistake, Satan is doing that to you. And he's looking for the attitude. He's looking for that deeply seated thing that he can exploit. They can spend. You say, why? They were sons of Belial. They had an attitude, but Satan exploited it. And Satan will exploit it in your home. He'll exploit it in the church. He'll exploit it in your life. The kingdom would never be what the kingdom was meant to be. It would never be what they expected it to be. Until it was renewed. To them, to those sons of Belial, the problem is Saul. When actually, it was their attitude. Amen. Now, I want to look for a few minutes at the renewal itself. You're reading your Bible. Yes, I'm reading my Bible. Good. The Bible renews my mind. Yes, it renews your mind. But there is an element of renewal I think we have to look at, because the only way that I can put off and put on, the only way I can push Saul out of the way and become a David, the only way that in a cave having nothing, someone who's in distress might say, maybe he can help me, is to be renewed. The renewal itself, point is, the renewal was an opportunity brought on by God. I don't know if you look at our text, but it just wasn't a matter of someone saying, you know what I think we need? I think we kind of need to get along. Why can't we all just get along? Can I tell you why we all can't get along? Because there are people in this realm, and some are closer to Saul than David. Because we all live in flesh. That's why we all just can't get along. And just saying like we can't get along doesn't necessarily fix it. It needed a renewal, but the renewal was an opportunity brought on by God. What do you mean? I mean, chapter 10, can this man save us? Chapter 11, God brings in a battle. Can I ask you a question? Are all battles in your life bad? No. Sometimes God brings in a battle that it might unite us. So often we look at it and we say, oh, it's a battle. Somebody did something wrong. That was the children of Israel in the Old Testament. 3 days, no water. You messed up. All this time, no food. What's wrong with you? The problem is they always saw the difficulty in the problem, but God allowed a battle to take place. Why? Because in the battle, they were going to see the one that they despised raised up, and it was going to produce an opportunity. Oh, it didn't renew, but it gave an opportunity for renewal. You're reading your Bible. Good. You're praying God renews your mind. Good. But you know what that renewal is sometimes? Sometimes that renewal is a message on a Monday night in June when the preacher gets up and preaches on bitterness and the Spirit of God touches your heart and you have a chance to say, I'm going to do something about it. The renewal would have never happened. Samuel's looking at this and he's seeing one side wants to kill these people. Saul settles this side down. He sees a change in these people. He said, we have an opportunity here. We have an opportunity to take what is not really a right kingdom and make it a better kingdom. What's not really a right church and make it a better church. What's really not a right home and make it a better home. But it's going to depend upon whether they will be renewed. Has anybody noticed that reading the Bible doesn't really work unless you keep the Bible? Keep my word. At the conclusion of the battle, Samuel saw something that we don't see in the passage. He saw pro-Saul and anti-Saul people smiling. They were happy because of what God had done. They were talking about how King Saul was such a great military genius. And Samuel says, let's renew this thing. Can I please say this week, and this is Tuesday, we've got all week to go, but please, 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 please do not squander the dealing of God. Do not squander the touch of the Spirit of God. You say, why? Because he took the word, he ministered to your heart through a preacher, and at that point he says, okay, we've got all of the ingredients and all of the Spirit for a renewal. Will you respond? Renewal is dependent upon me taking opportunity. Several years ago, there was a preacher friend of mine. He wrote a book, and the book was on, actually it was a study in Ezra, and it was about getting your walk back. If you understand the story, you understand why that is. And I read the book. It was a pretty good book, and it basically said they did this. So here's number one, and they did this, and here's number two, and they did this. You've seen books like that. It's kind of the how-tos, one, two, three, and so on. And I read it. When I got down to look at my wife, I said, there's one thing that he missed. And I wasn't trying to be critical, but the fact is everything that they did wouldn't have happened had God not opened a window of opportunity. It was Cyrus that stood up and said, you that are left, go back and build the temple. That was God. Why? Because Cyrus said, the God of heaven hath commanded me. God opened the opportunity, and God opens opportunities. He opens those chances to where we can take what we've heard, we can take what he's dealt with us about, and we can act upon it. Ever occur to you that the gospel preached to a lost person that deals with them and shows them they're lost will not save them until they act upon it? And the word that's preached that deals with our hearts and the Spirit of God says, you know you're a soul, you know the bitterness, you know the malice. No wonder your kids don't come to you and say, Mom, can I talk to you? No wonder the kids don't come and say, Dad, can we sit down and chat a little bit? Satan is out to divide. And he does it by us staying over at Saul and not becoming a David. David, he didn't go down. Maybe I'll go down there and I'll go into that cave and I'll sit there and maybe people will see me and they'll want to come to me. No. David went there and communed with his God. It wasn't a matter of him being a ruler over 400. It was a matter that a man, just to go out there and be by himself in a cave, became attracted to someone. And would to God we could get back to that. Most of my preaching, my church will tell you, most of my preaching, I just don't believe I can do a good job until God does something to me with it. And if God does something to me with it, then somehow the Spirit of God will take that and minister. That's just the way. You say, why? Because that's God's way. God did something to Paul and Paul turned the world upside down. God did something in the life of the disciples. The disciples turned the world upside down. And I've said more than one time, God, I'd like to be someone you could use. I don't want to see someone that puts people off. Every one of us here had a bad attitude. I just don't want to stay in it. Every one of us here have had a critical spirit. Matter of fact, brother, for a long time now, I guess for about the past 12 years, you know what God's been dealing with me about? About my critical spirit. It really has. And I'm not critical. I mean, well, we have to be critical. Yeah, in a sense, but the same Bible that says contend for the faith speaks of contention as bad. So I want to be discerning. I do, but I don't want to have a critical spirit. I want to be able to, Jesus, they brought a woman taken in adultery at the very act and put her down there before the Lord. And the Lord dealt with her like he didn't even notice this. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Saul's condemned. Saul's are critical. Saul's are the ones that know why you did what you did. Can I say something? You don't know someone's motive. God knows their motive. And it'd be far better. Listen, I've come to the conclusion, Lord, you know, part of my problem is I'm trying to straighten everybody else out. Very much what we've heard. Brother Roger, I'm trying to straighten myself out or everybody else out. I need to straighten myself out. So I find myself, Lord, make me a David. They got right. Israel came back from Babylon because God gave them an opportunity. Yeah. Renewal requires only a few things. Number one, it requires the Word of God. It requires God, a God-given opportunity. God opens a door. This is a window. And a lot of times it's because God dealt with us. But there's a third thing it requires. It requires a willing heart. Man one time talked to me and he had long trouble in marriage. And the fact is, it was probably both sides. I mean, they probably had plenty to share. Him and his wife were apart, and she was visiting family. I forget how long. It was long enough, you know, a week, 2 weeks, something like that. He went to pick her up, and we went to pick her up, and they'd been apart, and so, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. So in spite of the fact that they'd had some problems, and it had been long problems, that a part-time, he got out and he said, I went to her and I put my arms around her and I said, I do love you. And she said, I love you too. He said, then she stiffened. And she said, he said, wool came up. Why? She didn't like where it was going. There was an opportunity there. Where that opportunity was going, I don't like. What do you mean? If I continue in this opportunity, I'm going to have to let go of some things over here that Saul's been holding on to for a long time. I may have to say, I forgive you. I may have to say, let's put that behind us. I may have to. Yeah. You see, you can read your Bible all day. And you know how I am with that. You can be your Bible, you know, throughout the year. You can read it faithfully. When God opens up an opportunity for you to act upon it, you can ruin the renewal. Amen. We recently started a juvenile delinquent center. It's his dark one. We go to it. It's in our county. It's from young men from 12 years old to 20. I wish you could see it. It's a different kind of a system. We go in, we sit down, questions are asked. And it started out the first time we had several of the guys. Next time we had more of the guys. And now every young man in that juvenile delinquent center is coming out to this. Matter of fact, we have to have two sessions every Saturday night because they come out and they open up and talk. Wish you could. We have a question. What's the worst thing that ever happened to you? We just start raising questions. I wish you could see the boy that was probably around 14, 15. He said, worst thing that ever happened to me, you know, when I was taken away from my mom and dad. And you don't know the circumstances, but your heart breaks. Wish you could see the one talking about from 12 years old on, he was on drugs. And when he get off drugs, there's a period of his life he doesn't even remember. He said, when I was off the drugs, I don't even remember. I wish you could see the kid from 12 years old to 17. He's 17 at the time. He said, I've been taking drugs since I've been 12. I said, why'd you take them? He said, just make the hurt go away. Those that are distressed. Those that are in debt. Those that are discontent. Do you think someone that chooses drugs is a little bit discontent? I looked at them and my heart went out to them. It's been 2 weeks ago. And I looked at them and I said, young man, look, can I tell you this? And I said, I know with all my heart, I believe with all my heart that no matter what your problem is, Jesus Christ is your answer. I said, he can fix everything. I said, but that does you no good until you believe he's your answer. Can I say this to everyone that might be leaning toward the Saul? Those things you're holding on to and you're not letting go of. Can I say this? I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the answer to every bitterness you've got. Jesus Christ is the answer to all the wrath you've got. Jesus Christ is the answer to all the anger you've got. Jesus Christ is the answer to all the things you're holding on to. Jesus Christ is the answer. I believe with every fiber of my being. But that will do you no good until you believe he is. And the day you believe he is, all of a sudden you're at the point of opportunity. The messages this week, so just three of them so far that I've heard, but I got to tell you, they've been powerful. They've been true. But I sat last night and I thought, I wonder how many people after hearing about bitterness, Brother Logan, to your point, man, he worked his way around and I don't know how he didn't hit everybody. But I thought to myself, I thought, wonder how many people here, the Spirit of God said, that's you. Why don't you just turn around and say, I'm sorry. Why don't you just turn around and say, hey, listen, why don't we just let that go? That's what Ephesians says. Let's just let it go. Let's go to the altar. Let's ask God to take his word that he's ministered to us and renew us. What? I'd like it to be what it used to be. I'd like my Christian life to be a want to again. I'd like my walk to be a joy again. I'd like my marriage to be sweethearts again. But you know what? Many times when the opportunity comes up and it comes to the point of saying, all to Jesus, I surrender. You know what we say? I do well to be angry. I wonder if God's talking to anyone this morning and saying this. Do you do well to hold on to it? You see, preacher, is this all about our marriage or our home or? No, no. You know what it's about? It's about those that are distressed. It's about those that are in debt. It's about those that are discontent. And they're looking for someone to go to. The king that had everything offered nothing. Matter of fact, he's the one they fled. But they found a young man in a cave, and all he had was a deeply seated love for his God. And somehow they said, I think that guy can help me. 400 of them. Could I say this morning? This week, if God gives you an opportunity, don't squander it. Respond. Why? Because there is a joy on the other side of renewal. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, I commit to you the message. Lord, I've tried to what you laid upon my heart. Lord, I'm not, the fact is everything I've preached, how many times have I decided to remain a soul? How many times have I, in anger, took someone and because curt words, harsh words, I pushed them away? I don't want to be Saul. I want to be David. I want to be David to my wife. I want to be David to my kids. The people in my church, I want to be someone that the discontent would say, I think he could help me. So I pray for any person this morning that's holding on to those things that Saul holds on to. They've heard more than one time you've dealt with them, more than one time you've convicted them. You brought them right to the point of what will you do? And they stiffened up and they said no. God, I pray this week they'd say yes. In your name we pray, amen.